sees as it is at home. And yet here again, all of those men who run the World Bank and the UN and the AID had not stopped to think. They'd gotten past the big dams to people, but in their mind, all the people were still men. And it took quite a bit of time to convince them something that they all should have known. In Africa, perhaps 80% of the food is raised by women, and yet all of our extension agents were sent over were men. It also happens in the Africa society that there's sufficient sex segregation that men would not talk to the women and women to the men. Furthermore, the women were so busy working in the fields, they didn't really have time to come and listen to the extension agent. I hate to think how many of our tax dollars were spent on that little mistake. And one can keep going into much more sophisticated, complex things, but once you get the idea, you see what's happening. If somehow the idea was that the only people in a modern society who work are men. Men between 18 and 55. And what you see overseas is in a way a caricature of what was happening here. A rising youth problem, because no longer were youth supposed to have any role in society for economics. An increasingly difficult problem for the poor women who were subsistence farmers in most cases to grow enough food for their own families, which is traditional, because so much of the land was being taken away for growing cash crops by the men who took all that money, often drank it up, had second wives, and did other things that men do all over the world. The result of all of this is that women got poor and they were ignored. And as the societies grow older, so will the older people be ignored, but that is not as strong a problem in most of the developing countries because life expectancies are still not that high. So we are in Peace Corps also looking to see what we can do to try to reach the people who are in need. I hate to tell you, even the Peace Corps in our agricultural workers were almost all male until quite recently. We're changing that. But again, as the previous speaker said, we have to find the people. Now, one of the fascinating things, and no one's had an explanation for it, is that in this country now, almost 50% of agricultural students are female. Even the departments of agriculture don't know what to make of it, and are in fact feeling very insecure because there are almost no women who are teaching in those schools. A lot of the emphasis is perhaps not is on small animals or rather narrow things, but we're very much hoping that with the sudden turnaround, and I have no explanation for it, but there is this sudden turnaround. Maybe it's just because everyone's growing plants inside. I mean, I really don't know, and no one else does. But this is a fact, and it's been going on for about 2 or 3 years. So by the time we get our programs going, we're rather hoping there'll be a large crop of agricultural graduates, which is a very important area, and one which makes much more sense if you're, say, thinking of home economics, if you add some agriculture to it and think about food as growing, canning, and eating. There are lots of jobs out there. And if you have young daughters or yourselves interested in a new job, that's one that you can consider. We're looking for them in the Peace Corps, but they're also desperately looking for them in all of the international aid agencies. There will be this afternoon and tomorrow some programs in the International Lounge that will have foreign women visitors who are here participating along with some of us as resource people. And if you have interest in this, you might look back in your program and see whether there's some of those particular areas that might be of interest to you. But we are trying in Peace Corps to emphasize food in the widest sense and health as two of our major foci for the next couple of years. Now, the Peace Corps generally recruits for a two-year period because it doesn't make a lot of sense to go overseas and learn a language for a shorter time. VISTA recruits originally for 1 year with a possible extension up through five, and a lot of young people do continue to extend. I think that maybe gives you an overview of the types of programs that we have done, except for the Older Americans programs, which are also, I think, very important to mention. We have two programs that receive half-time stipend, that is to say the people who are in the work corps half the time. And one, the foster grandparents program, pairs an elderly person, that is anybody, I guess it isn't really all that old, I think it's over 55 now, but they have to be poor elderly, but that of course is most of the elderly, with a retarded child. Each foster grandparent is supposed to sort of take care of two children. Now, until recently, this has primarily been done in institutions, but there's a growing interest to see whether you can keep the not so severely retarded children at home and yet keep that child from being too much of a burden to the family. And we're now looking into the possibilities of having sort of halfway centers where the children and the grandparents can come together, but where the children go home at night rather than staying in institutions. And the care that's given to these children are partly, at least, given by foster grandparents. It's really one of the most rewarding kinds of programs I think we do, because it pairs two people who both need each other to each other. Another program, which is also has a tremendous impact where it is tried, is called the Senior Companions Program, where, again, elderly help other elderly people who otherwise would be put in old folks' homes, as we used to call them. And it is, again, to keep people who can make it outside the institutions from having to be put into what are perhaps fairly less human, if you will, institutional settings. There is, in addition to that, the program which is called RSVP, or Retired Senior Volunteer Program, which is a program to help with small amounts of money for transport and lunches any of older Americans who volunteer in any of a variety of social service activities, and would be very much a model for what we hope to do throughout the whole society with our new Office of Voluntary Citizen Participation, which I mentioned at the beginning. I think perhaps that will give you some idea of the breadth of what we're doing. We are also trying to encourage acceptance of voluntary concept in the government itself, that is to say, so that HEW or DOL or HUD, any of these big departments, might like to look at their own programs and see if there aren't ways that they can use the contributions of people like ourselves in their own programs, in addition to the kinds of paid programs that they do now. If any of you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Yes?
I have one question. For clarification, I realized you were talking about the mentioned before.
Mm-hmm. No, that's why I corrected myself and said it was the National Youth Service. The emphasis is on the service. It is a corps, but they want to make the difference in that this is sort of emphasizing the voluntary service concept. And it is really very much, it will be like a VISTA program, except that it would be open to all youth within an area wherever the pilot projects are, as an alternative to, if they don't want to work in the DOL kinds of training programs or perhaps on skilled programs. This is a good question. The question was asked in this National Youth Service, what about kids that hadn't finished education? one would not wish they would leave school to join it, and therefore that it's very tricky if they haven't finished high school. And yeah, one doesn't want them not to, although we all have our problems with the education system. Question. My understanding is now you can trace the man through a social security number, and therefore you can now attach salaries across state lines. I'm also told it's not terribly easy to do it by people who've tried it, but it's certainly better than it was before. I think that's primarily is primarily being done by the HEW, the welfare sections. And I don't.
Yeah. Speaker, this afternoon is Arlene Shanahan, Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs at HEW. I'm sure you will be able to ask that question.
Yes, ma'am. We actually have several programs now in which we recruit businessmen to give free advice to groups that need it. And that is indeed one of the programs that's available now. It really is sort of has to be done through a local area, but it is a program that comes up for requests quite frequently. There's also a similar program of businessmen and other people who give advice on fixed income counseling, how to make the most out of your money and how to get all the kinds of things that are due you, both of which are very useful. I mean, the money management's a very important thing. We also do have, there is recently a book out on grassroots fundraising, which is one of the best books that many of us have had, and we're now distributing that rather widely to our own groups. I don't know the publisher, but it really is one of the best ones. It's fundraising. It doesn't help with the keeping of the books, but it's usually not keeping the books, it's getting the money that's the problem. Any other questions or comments? Yes. Not VISTA. Some of the foster grandparent programs, especially if there are retarded children, do work in some Head Start settings, but mostly Head Start is a department, HEW program. We are certainly interested if a group wants to start a Head Start program in helping a community group get one, but in other words, our VISTA volunteers are more likely to work with community groups to get what they need or want, not to run them once they're there. It's much more sort of an advocacy group kind of concept, an organizational concept, an identification of resources. One of the biggest problems in our society is that, first of all, most of the social services come from federal agencies, and if they come then through state agencies, there's often very minimal coordination between them at a local level. And if you don't really have access to information, you often do not know what is due you. There are thousands of programs for neighborhood revitalization through HUD and other things. And what you need is, if you will, almost a matchmaker. And this is where VISTA can be particularly useful, because most of the VISTA people are relatively savvy. And they can go and look up regulations and go and demand things, where many people, especially poor people, are sometimes afraid to go into City Hall and do things. It's that kind of matching that's very helpful, or working with groups that are already doing it to help explain it to other people. I mean, you often now have very increasingly sophisticated community groups, but the people have a full-time job, and how do they get out to tell the community about these sorts of things? So that VISTA tends to take on that sort of organizational, plugging in, matchmaking kind of a role, which is a very exciting role, I think, and it's probably something that a lot of people would not want to do all their lives, but something that's really a very good thing. I think most of us in the women's movement, you knock yourself out for a couple of years. There's a time when you just, as Betty Friedan was saying, you just get tired. And I think that's one of the delights of this kind of thing, is that it allows you to do it full time for a while and then perhaps relax a little bit and do something else. Yes? The VISTA does require a year's commitment. Other kinds of groups do not straight voluntary groups do not. I mean, that is what we're really interested in now. There are several neighborhood groups meeting here at the convention. And if you don't plug in with any of them, one of the women who works with me has been very active, and there's a neighborhood council of neighborhood groups. And there are lots of groups like that. And we're just, you know, we're trying, in fact, to put together a resource book for neighborhood groups, just because there are lots of them out there, but they don't always have the information. And you need it, oh yes. I used to know a bit about the university you have there, so I am familiar with. Yeah, you certainly do. And this is, as you say, you don't want to do it full time, but you'd sure like to help, and there are lots of opportunities for that. If you don't plug in here, write to me, and I'll see that you get information. Yes? That's right. Good. Exactly. Good. Well, if any of you have any other questions, you might want to come up afterwards. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you very much.